Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. John Ledyard from FanRag Sports and NDT Scouting here with you guys on a beautiful Thursday morning. Afternoon, actually, now by the time I'm getting around to this. Trevor Sikkema bailed on me today because he had a freaking hair appointment. So because of that, it's just me today. You can send Trevor all your vitriol on Twitter, please. I would appreciate it. But seriously, we got cool stuff to talk about today, guys, because my first round grades dropped yesterday. My board will be soon to follow, but wanted to drop the first round grades in a separate piece. Think I'm going to start doing that on a yearly basis. I think it's a fun exercise to kind of look at. But today I wanted to look at on the pod, if you haven't checked those out, by the way, you're over at ndtscouting.com, along with the piece on big name players who didn't get first round grades for me, who a lot of people expected to see in the first round, my first round grades, that you guys may want to check out as well. So, really fun stuff over there. Both of those pieces on ndtscouting.com. I wanted to compare this year's class with last year's class and see kind of how things stacked up in terms of where I evaluated players and things like that. Now, it is not perfect because I didn't use numerical grading last year because I was a dum-dum. This year, I'm using a numerical grading scale, so I can't compare scale to scale like I will be able to next year using a same or very similar scale. So I have to kind of go off of my opinion of prospects last year versus my numerical grade of them this year, so it does make the process a little bit uneven. On the surface, 19 first-round grades this year, 25 first-round grades last year. If you followed me, you know it's no secret that I like last year's class as a whole a lot more than this year's class. There are definitely contributors in this year's class. There's definitely some good players. For the most part, I preferred last year's class. The top four players to me, if you combine the two classes, were Myles Garrett, Reuben Foster, Marshawn Lattimore, and Quentin Nelson. So three of those guys in last year's class, obviously. I think Garrett is an unreal, freaky level talent who, if he stays healthy, is going to be one of the best pass rushers in the league. I love Bradley Chubb. I love Roquan Smith. I don't think that Roquan Smith is on Reuben Foster's level as a prospect, as a player. I think Foster is one of the best evaluations I've ever done. He was the best player off of just pure tape from last year's class. Garrett was the best when you added in projection, I think, as well, because I think he can be truly elite at that position. The other stuff with Foster, too, character injury concerns, you know, I don't factor those in. I didn't factor them at all in this year into grades. You know, I just flag players for that kind of stuff because I'm not a doctor and I'm not a psychologist. I don't know all the answers in those types of situations as to what I would do like teams will. And, you know, it's not really important to me. But for a team drafting, obviously, it's going to be important. So they need to evaluate all those different things. I'm sure that they have in the situations with this year's draft. Last year's draft, I accounted for it a little bit. But this year's draft, just flagging it and not having it affect the grade at all on the player. So I like Smith a lot. He's not on Foster's level, I don't think. Now, Marshawn Lattimore, to me, was one of the best corners to come out in recent memory. He might have been, trying to think, I think he was the best one I probably ever watched. You know, people will say Jalen Ramsey, but Ramsey, you know, he's great now, obviously. Lattimore's more developed to me, even as a redshirt sophomore than Landry was coming out. So I loved Lattimore's tape. I thought he was absolutely a monster. So those were my first three players last year. Those were the top three players on my board. In terms of on-field performance, all of them made me look pretty good last year, but we've got a long way to go with them. I would say that Nelson would fit in there somewhere as well. Hard to say exactly how or where exactly because I used the numerical scale this year, obviously not last year, so... but he would be factored in with that group for sure. Those are my top three guys. I really like Jamal Adams and Solomon Thomas and Malik McDowell. Those are my next three guys. We may never know with McDowell now. He got in the car accident, and apparently he's okay, but there's talk he may not play football again. The extent of it has been really well hidden. I have no clue what's really going on there. Really weird situation. McDowell's situation's always kind of been weird. I mean, you know, in terms of on-the-field stuff, there was no off-the-field, you know, quote-unquote off-the-field stuff with McDowell. It was effort and his, you know, personality that were bad, but there was no like arrests or anything like that in his rep. So what happened with him was I just didn't really dock him at all because I'm not going to dock a guy for, you know, reportedly having, you know, not a cool personality. I couldn't do anything about that. So as long as there was no legal concerns, I didn't dock him and there weren't with him. So I just left him at number six. I don't know what will become of his career. Jamal Adams was pretty good last year. Solomon Thomas was a slow starter, which I expected. I said, even in my eval that I'm looking now on my big board, I said, I think he'll be a stud in a year or two, was what it'll take. And I think you saw Thomas even get better and better toward the end of the year. So going to be a disruptive player, going to be an impact player, just wasn't going to happen year one. So you can compare those guys, I think, and say, okay, at that point, after those top four, I would have Roquan Smith, Darius Geis, Josh Rosen, and Bradley Chubb all over Jamal Adams, who is number four on my board. So that's kind of where the tiers break up. That very top group, I would lean toward 2017. That next wave, I would lean probably toward 2018 having. And then you get into guys like, for this year, you get into guys like Harold Landry, Saquon Barkley, Sony Michel, Maurice Terrace, Minka Fitzpatrick. And for last year's group after, the McDowell wave is Corey Davis, who I liked a lot coming out. Again, hurt most of this past year in an archaic offense. You couldn't really see much for him. I think next year will give us a much clearer idea. Gerrion Conley missed almost the entire season at number eight. Buda Baker was stuck behind Tyrann Mathieu until the Cardinals finally wised up, got him on the field. He was terrific the last couple of weeks of the year. Arrow pointing up for him. Conley was good in his one start. Arrow pointing up for him. And Njoku, I thought he was really good for being in a train wreck of a situation. He made some great plays. Consistency needs to improve, but Njoku really promised. He showed a lot of promise last year. I'm excited to see him. Forrest Lamp was 11th on my board. He missed almost the entire. Malik Hooker, number 12, missed almost the entire season. He tore his ACL, I think, with the Colts. I forget what week it was exactly. Maybe it was halfway through the year, but he was really impressive. He led all rookies in interceptions by the time he went out. So I think he's going to be a stud in time too. OJ Howard was 13th for me. So you see that kind of group, and it's hard now to think back because you have the recent NFL stuff in mind, or you have a year of them being hurt in a ton of these guys' situations. We had so many first-rounders get hurt. Dalvin Cook was 14th on my board. Mike Williams was 15th. Both those guys missed almost the entire season. Jonathan Allen, 17th on my board. He missed almost the entire season. Deshaun Watson, 19th. He missed almost the entire season. So we have all these guys who flashed a ton, but like didn't do anything consistently as rookies because they were injured. There's so many guys like that in the first round grades that I had last year. Derek Rivers at 23 was a first round grade for me. He missed the entire season for the Patriots. There's just way too much of that to really fully evaluate this class. You almost have to try and rewind and remember where you were on the guys coming out of college. And I think that I would have leaned toward a group like Corey Davis, Gerrion Conley, Buda Baker, David Njoku, Forrest Lamp, Malik Hooker in the special traits that they offered over guys like Landry, Barkley. I know I have a different opinion on Barkley than most. Michelle, Hurst, Fitzpatrick. And I think these guys are good players still, in the 2018 group for sure. But you are talking about a little bit more boom bust with a guy like Saquon Barkley. And even to a degree, not bust with Minka Fitzpatrick, but Minka Fitzpatrick doesn't play like Malik Hooker plays a high value safety position. Being a single high safety with ball skills is the type of safety you want to really value. Minka Fitzpatrick didn't really do that on tape. I think he has traits to do that, but you're talking about a projection. So if you're projecting him to a high value role, there is that level of uncertainty with that type of a move. So I like Minka a lot. I would rather have a guy like Malik Hooker, if that makes sense. Even when you compare the classes, I liked last year's running back class. That's where this year clearly has an advantage, and that's shown by Barkley and Michelle being in my top 10, as well as obviously Geis, number three overall for me this year. But in Ronald Jones, even, he's at 16th on my board. So guys that I obviously like a ton and I think can be all great starters in the NFL. And last year I had Dalvin Cook in the first round. It was the only running back I had with a first round grade. I would have had Mixon there based on talent, in all fairness. But the character stuff drove him out of there for me. Again, this year I didn't really account for that stuff. So, you look at the group, depending on what position you're looking at, I think that you tend to lean toward 2017, especially at the top of the draft. There are some level of exceptions after Garrett. I do agree that Chubb and Landry would have been more polished prospects than Solomon Thomas, who was the second edge. It was really a projection to put Solomon Thomas at edge, given the fact that he played mostly inside at Stanford and was really underdeveloped in terms of being able to attack from the outside of a tackle shoulder and all that goes into that as a pass rusher. Very, very different role than attacking on the inside. So I think that it's fair to project that, but and it's fair to argue for quarterbacks and running backs. But outside of that, yeah, I really liked last year's class a lot. I think that this year's class has grown on me some, but at the same time, we also have the benefit of looking at last year's class and saying, man, like that was a heck of a class, right? I mean, you had, first of all the guys that I just mentioned that got hurt in the first round. I mean, that's a good chunk of my first round grades that missed it. And then guys like Carl Lawson, who I also had a first round grade on, who ended up going to the fourth round, you know, balled out. Marlon Humphrey went to the Ravens in the first round, was terrific when he picked up for Jimmy Smith when Jimmy Smith went down. He was really, really good for the Ravens. Cam Robinson was really, really good for the Jaguars at left tackle. Garrett Bowles showed promise for the Broncos. Still a ways to go there. Ryan Ramczyk stepped in and played a huge role for the Saints. Now, first for Teron Armstead, but then more naturally on the right side, I think, when he filled in for Strife, and he'll be the starter this year after Strife retired. So I just thought that it was the class as a whole really showed out, which kind of maybe has left a really favorable impression in my mind, especially with what we saw. Deshaun Watson and Dalvin Cook, those guys would have been in the Rookie of the Year conversation, perhaps leading the conversation, if they hadn't gotten hurt. And yet we still had Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara lead the charge for Rookie of the Year with incredibly impressive seasons. So even losing a couple quality guys, then not really having any of the top wide receivers produce, we still had tons of great options for Offensive Rookie of the Year. So it was just such a good class top to bottom. And I think the way that some of the young edge rushers improved toward the end of the year, Derek Barnett, Charles Harris, Tack McKinley, TJ Watt, this class is just going to keep growing on us, I think, especially these guys come back from injury. Some of those raw guys showed incredible promise toward the end of the year. You know, I think that we still got a long way to go with this receiver class. I mean, Corey Davis, Mike Williams, Carlos Henderson, they missed the vast majority of the year. Those were my top three wideouts. John Ross missed almost the entire year. Some hurt, some in the doghouse in Cincinnati. You know, those guys were my top four wide receivers. I think that they all have traits to be able to really be productive in the NFL, and they barely got to play. Hassan Reddick was another guy people loved. He got moved out of his position to linebacker, which he was new to and doing well at. And he got moved back to the edge when they lost Marcus Golden because they didn't have another pass rusher. You know, Sidney Jones missing most of the year. A lot of people had a first round grade on him. So it just is a class that can continue to show off over the next couple years how good that group was pretty much from top to bottom. I mean, the depth, like we're saying, you know, two third round running backs outplayed Fournette, McCaffrey, and, you know, two running backs that went in the top 10. Which is probably another podcast in and of itself. But to me, that's why I can't escape the fact that I clearly have recency bias when it comes also to the 2017 class, because they were so good for the most part as rookies, and there were so many really impressive performers. We haven't even mentioned, you know, a guy like Trey White and some of the linebacker play from mid to late round guys that was really impressive. And Marcus Williams for the Saints balling out and doing what he's done. And so I just think that was a really, really fun class to evaluate, really deep class. And I think that they proved that already in the NFL, just how good they can be in that role. Now we're going to have to see them continue to develop and continue to work from that point. But where they're at right now, after doing what they did year one, with the expectation that a lot of these guys will come back from injury and make bigger contributions in year two, I think you can't help but get excited. I think this year's class has grown on me. I didn't think I'd have this many first round grades. I admit that there's a little bit of a risk factor to having a guy like Jair Alexander in the first round. He does take a lot of chances, but I love his ball skills, his instincts. I think if he can just play a little more under control, you know, he can really impress. I think Mike McGlinchey, you know, it was a guy I didn't think I would have in the first round. I've watched tons of his tape, and I was just like, this guy's good, man. People are really overthinking it off a couple reps. Every tackle gets beat, especially coming out of college. But I think he has all the things you look for in a left tackle, really light on his feet. Reminds me a lot of Taylor Decker in the way that he grew on me the more that I watched his tape. And Decker came in, was a stud as a rookie for the Lions. You know, came back from injury this past season, was only okay, I think, but I think at the same time, you know, he'll be even better next year with a full offseason to rehab and get better and everything. They kind of rushed him back this year. But I think that McGlinchey can have a really similar type of impact. I like Ronald Jones a lot from USC. I think that he offers a lot. You know, those were guys that a lot of other people maybe didn't have in the first round. And then, you know, Josh Sweat and Justin Reed, my last two first round grades, first games I watched them, I wasn't impressed at all. Reed was against USC and he got burned a lot, and you just stick with it. You try and put those, you know, first impressions aside and give prospect a clean slate going into every game. And, you know, there were a lot of nuances to those evaluations, and, you know, Sweat being out of position a lot of the time, you know, Reed matching up in the slot against those small shifty speedsters for USC, probably not a great matchup for him, but against bigger slots, the guys that he can control a little bit more with his hands, he did really, really well. So maybe I have to look at matchups for those guys a little bit, but I really think that they're guys that can contribute at a first round level to a team. And I think that they're going to really impress people with how quickly, how polished they already are for guys that a lot of people didn't think would declare early, but then how early they can contribute, I think, especially Sweat. I think people think he's really raw. I think he's going to contribute right away in the NFL. So obviously for me, you know, there were guys that nobody expected to see in the first, well, unless you follow me, you know, Sony Michel being as high as he is for me in the top 10. I think some people who know me and know my evaluations thought that would happen. But other than that, there's been some surprise. And then guys you didn't have in the first round, obviously Sam Darnold, Jermaine Edmonds, Vita Vea, guys that I like a lot, and they're high for me still, you know, those that crew anyway. You know, it's the Josh Allens and the Deron Payne's that get a little bit further down my board that people were surprised by. But yeah, first round grades, I tried to be a little bit stricter on them this year, tried to really stipulate what I really wanted to value at a high level, and find the prospects that fit that type of a billing. So there's my guys, 19 guys. Again, you can check them out at ndtscouting.com, how they compare with the 2017 class, at least at the top. Next year, I'll be able to give a much better response to that and how it compares to how 2019 class compares to 2018, because I'll have the numerical grades to be able to cross-reference different classes, which is something I'm really, really excited about doing. So looking forward to that. Trevor and I will be back tomorrow. We got Fan Friday for you guys. So until then, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.